Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio. Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Soul Sister Radio. And this is A Heart for Worship. And I am Becky Phillips, your host for the next half hour. I hope that everybody is getting up and about, and I know depending upon where you're at, it could be later in the afternoon, but where I'm at, it is 7:30 a.m., and my day has been going for about an hour, so I got up early and spent some time in the Word, and I just hope that the show today just blesses the listeners out there. I first want to say thank you to our sponsors, Rebecca Lawler Limited and her beautiful Hearts of Hope. We're so blessed to have her and her company behind this show. We want to thank B&B Builders and Remodeling, Spa Gems. We could not do our show without you, so thank you so much for your continued support. We have been studying and going through the book, Not a Fan, by Kyle Eidelman. And we are, some of you may have gotten the book, some of you may just be listening in the archives, but we are well into the second half of the book. And we are, if you're following along with us, we're in chapter 8. And I am excited about this one because I think a lot of people that listen in archives or listening live can really understand and appreciate this next chapter. So I'm going to go ahead and start us out with prayer, and we will dive into the book. Father, we just come to you this morning. We thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can wake up each day and welcome you into our life and our daily activities and anything that we do, and that you are always with us. You never leave us and you never forsake us. And we just ask you, Lord, that you would just instill us this morning with your Spirit, Lord. Give us a fresh word that would just move us to love on others, love ourselves, and love you, Lord, the way you've created us to love, and that we would be your arms and your feet, and that we would just continue to reach out to those that maybe do not know you, but so desperately need to, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we just ask that you would just be with us in this time and throughout our day in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So this week is about the chapter of this week, and the book. We're starting part two, and the chapter is called An Invitation to Follow, the unedited version. And so as I was reading this chapter today, and throughout the week, because I tried to get into it about the middle of the week and just study it for the next 3 to 4 days till the show on Sunday. And this chapter just pretty much just laid it out, and really I liked it because it just kind of just shuts people up. And when I say that in a gracious way. We as human beings on this planet have a tendency to be so judgmental. So we like to put our stamp of approval on what we think is right and what we think is wrong. And I think it's great because we can go to God's word and we can just, if we're followers of Christ, we can just say, what did Jesus have to say about that? Because if we are the hands and feet of Jesus in this world, then we need to follow his lead and we need to follow his example. And so this chapter just really talks about how in Jesus' ministry, when he went out and was gathering his disciples, he extended the invitation to follow him to anybody. And if you look at the word anyone, it means it's all inclusive. It's any one person, group, or thing, something like that. It's not determined by race, color, creed, family background, riches, bank account, any of those things. It's anyone. And so Kyle talks about and gives an example of how Jesus, he extended the invitation to follow him to anyone because he knew not everyone would follow because it was intent and, it was just an intense thing to do is to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Christ. But, Kyle talks about how the most famous scripture in the Bible, I think if you asked what's the one scripture anybody would know, it would be John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And that's a powerful statement because it talks about his love for us and what he did on the cross for us. And he didn't just do it for the elect or the religious leaders, but he did it for all of us. And he extended that invitation on the cross to all of us. And then, the whole book that we've been reading on Not a Fan has been based on Luke 9:23. And that's where, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And so it emphasizes believing and following. And basically that, the two things go together. There's no believing without following, and there's no following without believing. And so when Jesus was walking the earth in his ministry, the one radical thing he talks about in this book is how he did invite anybody. He emphasizes in this chapter how Jesus invited Matthew, who was a tax collector. And back in the Old Testament times, oh, whoa, tax collector, that is not, I think that's, you know, equivalent to, I don't know, I don't even want to say what it'd be equivalent to because I don't want to be judgmental. But in that day, it was very, very degrading to be a tax collector. And back then, you know, boys and were raised to go through school, and they were, and you know, here's Jesus, a rabbi, and most kids in that day, and I may not get this perfectly, but you know, they studied the Torah, and they went into this big, you know, in-depth study, and they did this certain ritualistic thing where if you pass this, this, and this, then you can move into this and become a rabbi. But if you couldn't pass the test of learning all the books of the Old Testament and having the first, what, I think 5 books memorized by the time you're 10, then you weren't qualified to move on to that next level, and you weren't qualified to become a rabbi or a teacher or a disciple or any of those things. And as you, if you stay tuned and if you listen last week on Church Reboot, that's what we're studying about. We're studying about becoming a disciple, and Magdalena's going through that study. And so it really kind of goes hand in hand because back then you had to have certain pre-qualifications to become a disciple. And Jesus just blew it completely out of the water and said, no, you come follow me. Do you want to follow me? Come follow me. And he extends that invitation to anyone. And so many times in our life today, we are bombarded and held down by sin and thinking that we're not good enough, that how could Jesus possibly love me with everything that I've done and the horrible person that I've been? And, oh, my gosh, I have so many sins. He doesn't want me to follow him. How could I be effective for Christ? And the chapter just really explains how Jesus blew that all out of the water. And that's where, you know, the two scriptures of John 3:16 and Luke 9:23 go together. So I'd really encourage you to read those two scriptures. Go on and read in Luke chapter 9 what Jesus spoke to his disciples after that and how empowering it is and what authority we have following after Christ if we truly commit our life to him and what that means. It doesn't matter what our stains look like. It doesn't matter what we're trying to hide. God knows it all, and he loves us just the same. And so as we go into this time of worship, I really want you to just let the words of these two songs just saturate your heart. Saturate your heart and understand that Jesus died for your sins. He loves you that much. God loves you that much. And he doesn't care what your life looks like. If your heart is to follow after him, he's extending the invitation to you to come and follow him. It may mean sacrifice. It may mean doing things that make you uncomfortable in the moment. But what he has for you is so much greater and so much better and such a greater purpose and plan that it makes it all worth it. So please sit back, spend some time with your Father, get in his presence, let this music engulf you, and really just know that no matter what you've done, your stains are washed clean, and God's extending an invitation to you. So please enjoy the music.
Treasure of my heart and Ask him, say, Lord, pour out your spirit. And not just for me, not just for mine, not just for my household, but more, more, more than enough. Help us to live in the overflow this morning.
One moment and look back over our shoulders and see how far God has brought us. To see that we would not be here tonight had God not preserved us, protected us, put his hand on us, put angels all around us. And so tonight may every tongue be loosed from the prison of complaining and find liberty and praise. May every hand be free to clap and to be lifted. May every voice be raised. That wherever the name of Jesus is mentioned, may there be a testimony that the heavens are open, the doors are open, the windows are open, our hearts are open, and he is more than enough. He is our El Shaddai. We're going to speak blessing over our generation. We're going to speak blessings, multi-generational favor coming upon you, that God's blessing will put you in places beyond your education, open up doors beyond your training, that God will drop you in the middle of the biggest days of your life, and that God will give this generation an abiding presence, something that you don't have to stir up, something that you don't have to crank up, something that doesn't have to be worked up, but may God set up his tabernacle among his people, and may the presence of God be with you. May God bless you and strengthen this day and this generation in the name of Jesus.
You give the name of Jesus.
Remember that even though Matthew was the first one to write the first book of the New Testament, you have to remember that he was a follower of Jesus. And before he was a follower of Jesus, he was an embarrassment to his society. He sold his soul to the Romans for a job. And Jesus personally invited him to follow him. And that same invitation that he made to Matthew, he extends to every single one of you, myself included. There are days when I wake up and I feel like just a fan, and I remember, you know what, I gave my life and I accepted that invitation many years ago, and it's my joy to have the Holy Spirit live and dwell in me and be able to follow him day after day. That same invitation is to any of you out there that are craving a Savior and know that there's one out there for you. He invites you. Please stay tuned, and Church Reboot's coming up next. I hope you guys have a beautifully blessed week. God bless, and we'll talk to you next week.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlor Limited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hey, sheeple.
This is Jimmy James, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Sunday. Our host, Maria Magdalena, redefined what fellowship is in 2012. So, if you've been hanging out in those dens of iniquity, Jesus is in the house. waiting to reboot your definition of church and uplift your spirit on Soul Sister Sunday.
Welcome to Soul Sister Sunday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and we have Magdalena Gomez here. We also have Miss Rebecca Lawler, who is in Virginia, and Becky Batcho. I am lost for words right now, so I'm going to go ahead and give the microphone over to our host for the day, Miss Magdalena Gomez. Why don't you go ahead and say hello to your guests and say hello to Rebecca.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Rebecca. Good morning, Becky. Good morning, Dean, our brother Dean, and all our live listeners. Thank you so much for joining in this morning. I hope everybody had a great weekend. And, you know, and maybe for those who didn't, that this show can really make a difference in changing your hearts or just bringing it to a place of peace and that your heart can smile, because ultimately we want our hearts to be touched by God's word. And, you know, this is what we're going to be delving into. We're going to be reviewing a little bit of discipleship of what we went over last week, and then start into the new study. And I just definitely want to thank and say hello to, of course, our sponsors. So, Rebecca, I want to thank you so much for allowing us to have this show. And I wanted to see if you had anything to share today.
Oh, good morning. I'm good. It's beautiful on the East Coast, and I'm so excited to see all of you this week. Can't wait to get out there on Wednesday, and we've got a wonderful weekend coming up, and it'll be nice to be with all of you on Sunday.
It's going to be so amazing. I can't believe how the time has flown, and it'll be great to see you. And I'm just especially grateful to hear you on the show, because there's something about you. You are like our fairy godmother, you know, and it's just so awesome to have you, and we thank you so much. And I just wanted to ask as well, how is Claire?
Claire is great. She just got home for Christmas, so she's really excited, and we're just so happy to have her home. Of course, it's been a transition in my life, and so, you know, she's such a blessing to us, so it's great. And how are you guys? And I want to say what a great job you did last week. I loved the show last week. It was awesome.
Thank you so much. We, basically yesterday we finally went downstairs. I should say our neighbor, one of our sponsors, Robert with B&B Builders, went to our garage and got all our Christmas stuff out. So the house is now festive with all the Christmas decorations. We were listening to Christmas carols, and it was just awesome, because I'm like, we're preparing for Jesus' birthday, and we're going to have a blast in this house. We're going to get our Christmas tree today, finally, and it's just all coming together, and it's just so awesome, because it really brings in the Christmas spirit.
But I do want to interrupt, because I want to go back to what you were talking about, Rebecca, and that's next weekend. As you know, last year you were honored as becoming a dame under the Imperial Order of St. Helen, and you worked really hard, and it took you a long time to finally, you know, say, yeah, I'm ready to do this and really truly become an ambassador for Christ. And even though that's not what the order calls it, that is what For Ministry calls it, because that's the prerequisite before we become a dame, that we're truly solid in our walk as ambassadors for Christ. And I'm excited because Magdalena has worked very hard, and Becky, I know you're still listening, and Becky is a lady in waiting, and Magdalena is going to be taking that step. So, Rebecca, I would like for you to share a little bit about your experience last year as we prepare our new little girl here and bring her into the wings of the order. Can you share how you experienced it last year?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, I have to go back and share with my first time I was able to meet Michael, because, as we know, we've lost him this past year. But he was such a gentleman, and just to have his humbleness and just to see how much he loved the order and how much he really gave his life to trying to see and change other people's lives. And that's really what one of the first most amazing impressions that I had. And of course, then being out there that week was truly amazing, and being able to be with everyone, and it's just a time I really think that you have with you yourself and the Lord, where you can really look at yourself and figure out what you're trying to do and what your calling is on your life and what you want to do to help make the world a better place and help change lives. It was a humbling experience for me. A very bored experience as the year has passed. We've been able to do some amazing things. This radio show has been one of them, and I think we have all worked together to make a difference.
Well, amen. That's why we're actually all here. It's actually, you were the inspiration, your heart, what we've gone through as women, and really just coming under one house together, holding hands and saying, we're going to have a mission. And really the mission has been to be disciples. We just really haven't called it that all this time. But anytime we get online and we share about the word and about God and our relationship, and it's not about us being preachers and pointing fingers and being judgmental. It is really about just saying, you know, we're going to trust you, God. You know, here all this time I've been driving on my own. You know, I need a chauffeur. I need someone who knows where I'm going. God is like the master GPS dude, you know. And this is really what it is, surrendering our lives to him and saying, God, you take over. And the show has allowed us to share that and everything that we learn in the Bible. And it's just one verse. Maybe it's a whole study. Maybe it's a song that touches us. There's so many different ways to praise God. And one of the ways we're going to praise God right now is we're going to listen to What Is It? Because what is it? The what is it is what really changes our lives and what touches us. So it can be anything, really, as long as it's blessed by the Holy Spirit. And if it provokes your heart to move and your body to dance and it's all about praising God, then let's do it, because whatever it is, so here's What Is It.
Let me see you go, mama, go, mama.
What is that?
Get your girls and pull on a show, mama.
What is that?
Get it on the floor and dip it low, mama.
What is that? Wah, wah. What is that? What is that? What is that?
Let me see you go, mama, go, mama.
What is that?
Get your girls and pull on a show, mama.
What is that?
Get it on the floor and dip it low, mama.
What is that? Wah, wah. What is that? What is that?
I'ma holler back when I pop my collar back. Girl, I see that thunk, thunk, thunk. I want all of that. Follow that train, man. Follow that caboose. Ain't nothing in the world like some big and some juicy. Her favorite DJ spinning. I'm all up in the dough, so I'm already winning. I got a lot of women, but I'm way too choosy. And man, I love my cake like that Ricky Love Lucy. On some peanut butter leather with the wood so grainy. It must be raining dollars cause she's looking so gravy. Sophisticated lady, pop it to the end. What it do, what it did, baby girl, tell me what's happening.
What is that?
Let me see you go, mama, go, mama.
What is that?
Get your girls and pull
it
on the show, mama.
What is that?
Get it on the floor and dip it low, mama.
What is that? Wah, wah, what is that? What is that? What is that?
Let me see you go, mama, go, mama.
What is that?
Get the girls and put on the show, mama.
What is that?
Get it on the floor and dip it low, mama.
What is that? Wah, wah, what is that? What is that?
Like she dancing on YouTube, the kind of chica that you really ain't used to. Dami low, mama shoot through. In my ear talking about I'ma do you.
Hey, one top notching, everybody watching. Ain't no punk when she pop lock and drop it. Straight show stop it, watching me perform. Got the cyclone ringtone on the phone. I'm feeling like my body, baby girl, I'm in the zone. Must be the goose mixed with a little Tron. She make it happen, capping feeling on me. We in the building and we feeling like me. What is that?
Let me see you go, mama, go, mama.
What is that?
Get your girls and put on a show, mama.
What is that?
Get it on the floor and dip it low, mama.
What is that? Wah, wah, what is that? What is that? What is that?
Let me see you go, mama, go, mama.
What is that?
Get your girls and put on a show, mama.
What is that?
Get it on the floor and dip it low, mama.
What is that? Wah, wah, what is that? What is that?
Wah, da, da, dang. Wah, da, 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 dang.
Hey.
What is it that moves your spirit? And with that being said, last week we left off in prayer, and obviously that's one of the most important things that we can do. And having a relationship with God, as I compared it, it's like having, you know, when you first meet somebody and you want to get to know them, you know, you pick up your cell phone and you call them or you send them a text. It's a way of communicating. And the only way that you can really develop a relationship with a person is either through daily contact throughout the day, or, you know, as much as you can, because when you're really interested in someone, that's your heart. You want to reach out. You're like, you're so intrigued by this person. And it's the same way in our relationship with God. When we really surrender ourselves to Him or just are inclined to want to trust Him, it really is about prayer. And as we left off in Luke 11, it says, Jesus teaching on prayer. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. This is basically the prayer formula. Here he's saying, Father, because we are his children. To me, when I pray to God, I say he's my father. Because I was a fatherless child, and he took the role as father, and really his name is holy. And we pray about his kingdom. The show is about his kingdom and about advancing it. And it says, give us each day our daily bread. Our daily bread is the word of God that we read. That's what nourishes our soul. That's what gives us strength. And it says, forgive our sins. And really, in order to really just, you know, carry on and just moving forward, it's really about, you know, asking for our forgiveness and us forgiving others as well. Because if we have been forgiven by God's grace, we certainly should have the heart to forgive others. But it's obviously something that's not easy, and it's something that really we need to ask about and pray about every single day. It says, and lead us not into temptation. With that being said, we are going to start off in prayer. If you, we can hold hands spiritually or just raise your hands and just really surrender to our Father. And Father God, we want to say good morning first and foremost. Thank you so much for bringing the Soul Sister family together. Thank you so much for our live listeners. Thank you so much for our archive listeners. Thank you so much for the production that goes behind the show. Thank you so much, Maria. Thank you so much, Jimmy. Thank you so much, Jean. Thank you so much, Lady Rebecca. We are so honored. Thank you so much, Becky Phillips. Your amazing show really just warms up our hearts and just opens us up to the Word. And we are so grateful that we can call each other family. I pray for those who are listening for the first time. I pray that you may be touched by the Word. And we really just want to pray for those right now who are hurting. Because although the holidays can be great, it can be the loneliest time for so many people. And I pray for those who are hurting, God. I pray that they may be touched by an angel, or that you may send them a sign that you are there for them, God, that there is hope. And we thank you for your amazing, amazing Son, Father. Thank you so much for loving us and sending your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me, that he took up my sins, Father, and he has carried the weight of the world so that we can have this relationship with you. And we are so honored to call you Father. Thank you so much, Father. We pray for your kingdom right now. We pray for those listening and those who will listen even months later, God. We're so happy about advancing your kingdom. And we really pray, Father, that you just protect us. There's so much evil going on right now. Every time we turn on the news, it's something so drastic, something so depressing, something so shocking. Yet it talks about it in the end of times, God. And I just pray, Father, really for peace. And that is the number one thing, love and peace, God. And I especially for all those countries in the Middle East with such conflict going on and those being persecuted and being killed for their faith, God, I pray for these families that are hurting so much, Father. And I pray that through the sorrow, somehow you can bring joy into their hearts, Father, that you have a place for us prepared in heaven. And that's probably the most exciting thing that I can think about. And as we get ready to celebrate your Son's birthday on December 25th here and around the world, God, we just thank you. Thank you so much. Protect us from evil. Guard us. Protect us. Have us under your wing as we trust our lives onto you, Father. And we thank you so much. Thank you for forgiving our sins, and that truly we can have the heart to forgive others so that we can truly call ourselves disciples, Father. And thank you so much for our sponsors again, for Rebecca Lawler. Thank you so much for B&B Builders. Thank you so much for Surf Pro, Father, and having them bless us through the order. Thank you so much. Yes, and of course, Bevel Island Jewelers, my mama's little store, Father, that you just may bless them all for their support, for, you know, giving onto us, God, and for believing in us. Thank you for those who have come to us, Father. We love you. We thank you so much. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.
You can. Magdalena, the way you pray is amazing. Did you want to say hello to Dean?
Dean, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning. I want to just wish you both a very good morning, Sunday, and it's great to be here. And if I can just add something to that, what you said there, Magdalena, and it's very important, and we all tend to forget it, because it's usually the first derogatory thing that comes out of all of our mouths. And that is the fact that Jesus starts that prayer with the single most important rule as a Christian. And that is, "Our Father, hallowed be your name," which means don't tread on that. That name is serious. That name is sacred. Don't talk about it. Don't even mention it unless it's for praise purposes. Because Jesus is making a very clear point there that nothing else matters when it comes to prayer unless you hallow that name. That's very important. I just wanted to point that out, a lot of people, because we're all guilty of using his name in vain. That's why.
It happens very often. And in this, when Jesus is teaching on prayer, he teaches on prayer because this is how he received his personal strength. He came to this earth with a mission, and we know that it was always about God's will and not his will. So this is what he did to gain strength on a daily basis throughout the day, whether very early in the morning or very late at night. he was in constant prayer. He was constantly asking for strength, because think about it, as humans, we are so weak. We're so, in the morning, we just get up, we're ready to go to work, you know, we're just hustling, and just taking that time and setting, you know, just a little quiet time, just to kneel before the Lord, read His Word, and just get that nourishment, because it's kind of like when we talk about nutrition, our bodies need to eat every 3 to 4 hours, and if we're not, we're really just, you know, damaging ourselves. We're basically putting our health at risk. And we all know that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And just like that, prayer is the most important thing that we can do to start off our daily walk with God. And this is why prayer is so important. Think of it as your food. I got to eat every 3 to 4 hours. You know what? I need to pray every 3 to 4 hours, even if it says, if you just say, God, thank you so much for being with me this morning or this afternoon, or Father God, help me to deal with this person. Help me to have the right words to say. I mean, it's just every little situation. I do marketing, so I'm constantly walking in and out of doors, and I'm thinking, Father God, please just let me have just a positive reaction. You know, let me make a difference in these people's lives. I hope that they can see something different in me. Well, I'm trying to sell a service, but I'm also trying to represent myself as God's steward. And it's really, you know, it's really about praying. I sometimes say a little prayer. I'm like, God, let me have a great visit at this office, that they may like me, blah, blah, blah. And it happens. And I can't help but to walk out feeling joyful and happy, because God answers prayers. Some immediately, and sometimes they take literally a lifetime, or even after some people have passed away, when you say prayers for certain people in your lives. And Dean, I wanted to know if there's anything that you want to say about your daily walk with God. I mean, how did you learn to become a disciple? Who was your teacher?
Well, you know, back to that prayer, you know, it's one thing I did learn about it. It's, you know, it's been mistitled from the very beginning of the ministry. And when I talk about the ministry, I'm talking about the, you know, Jesus's ministry up to from the moment that he started to right now, not ours in particular. There's a line in there, and it's a confusing line. And a lot of people don't understand it. I don't even understand it. And it's where Jesus asked God not to lead us into temptation. You know, would God lead us into temptation? You know, is God the one that would lead us into temptation? Jesus asked God not to lead us into temptation. So it's, you know, when we're dealing with Christianity, dealing with especially the quote-unquote Lord's Prayer. Really, it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. You know, Jesus gave it to his disciples. In turn, he gave it to us. So it's really our prayer. So it's something that if you really want to be a good Christian, you would go to a Strong's Concordance and you break down that Bible passage, the Lord's Prayer, and you break down every word and you understand it, because if you can understand anything in the Bible, that is the particular passage you really want to understand. It's Jesus' message to us on how we do it. And for me personally, I've been really, really lucky in my life on who I've been taught by. And I just, throughout the years, have been, in my opinion, taught by really, really intelligent people. And I don't use the word pastor. I don't use the word layman, clergyman, priest. I like using the word person, and because it puts them in my frame also. And I've just been really blessed and fortunate over the years. I've had some really good teachers. And teachers that made me think, and no, not just follow. You know, I want you to think about this, and if there's a doubt, you know, we're all Thomases. You know, I think Jesus wants us to be a Thomas. Everybody has to be a Thomas, because you can't just blindly follow, even if it sounds and it feels good. You know, this is not a feel. Sometimes Christianity is not a feel-good, mamby-pamby religion. It's something that your doubting Thomas has to come in you, and that's your inner feeling saying, wait a minute, I want to know more about this before I just bow down and get on a knee and start worshiping.
I need validation, as what Thomas said, and it's interesting because I went to St. Thomas the Apostle, so I went to the school of doubters, okay, if you come and think about it. And it truly, I mean, some people need some tangible, and God, and Jesus really made himself tangible to his apostle Thomas. But I also wanted to ask Rebecca, who taught you how to be a disciple? How were you trained? I know that you come from a special school and background, but, you know, can you share about that with the audience, please?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think for me, I was very blessed early on to, and I've talked about this a few times, to have the post been in. He was, you know, in my life, he being able to watch someone who really believed in prayer and really believed in the Bible and really believed in the Holy Spirit, and watching him in his early years of his ministry, watching his like deep love for Jesus was just amazing, and it really touched my life. I mean, I could like cry about it right now, because you know, early on in his ministry it was phenomenal, and I have that opportunity to be a part of that at like a really young age, because you know, as you all know, some of my past, I mean, I could have gone any which way. I mean, it's by, and I really will say this, you know, for the rest of my life, it's by Jesus' grace, you know, that I didn't end up, you know, truly, you know, not here anymore. And so that was just such a, you know, just a great time in my life. And it really led me to, you know, being able to go across and go to different orphanages out of the country and take Bibles and take food and, you know, just really come face to face with what, you know, truly what's in the world and what's out there, and just my passion for children, like really, you know, really blossomed then, and, you know, really wanting to make a difference. But, and then, you know, going to Liberty University, I mean, that was just an awesome opportunity. I mean, every morning I would get up with a couple of our friends, and we would literally walk all the way, for those of you, for some of the people that know Liberty University, we would walk about a mile and a half to this white chapel, and every morning we would pray, and just really, I mean, literally see lives change through prayer. And so, you know, and as we walk and as we have our life, my gosh, things, you know, we have temptations, as Dean was just saying. And, you know, we have things that come in our lives, and we have things like you were talking about daily, you know, how we need to nourish our bodies, how we need to nourish our souls. And, I mean, I just really so truly believe in that. And, you know, I mean, I often say that, and it's really true, you know, we come into this world with nothing and we leave this world with nothing, but, you know, what we've done here and how our lives have been touched by the Holy Spirit and by Jesus and, you know, God, and what we're able to do. And, you know, there's two things for certain. We will come into this world, and we will one day die. And so it's just really important to, like you're saying, and, you know, your discipleship and trying to lead and teach people to read the Bible. And one of the most amazing things I think we've talked about when Moses was in, you know, trying to find the promised land, and how God came down and gave them manna every day. And, you know, that's, I like to kind of parallel the two with the Bible and manna, because it's so important. And so, you know, I've just been so blessed. I mean, God, his grace has been there, and his mercy and his love in my life. And it's just, you know, it's an amazing thing. So that's my knowing and my, you know, discipleship experience.
Well,
Well, amen. There's two things that I want to address. Something that Dean spoke about, and really is when he was talking about the doubters and really having, you know, to know and really wanting to study for themselves or for yourselves, is I think about the scripture that we read last week, Luke 14:25-33. It says, if any man, it's really about counting the cost. You know, what is it going to take to be a disciple? So part of it is making that decision. You know, is this the walk I want to walk every day? It's almost like someone committing to, like, you know what, I'm going to start working out every day. And for the people that start working out every day, you know, they feel great. They start looking great. And it's the same way. It's like picking up your Bible is your weight. And it's you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to do this. It's work. I have to carry this cross. I have to carry this weight. But you know what? I'm becoming stronger. I look better. I feel better. My spirit is awesome. And the other thing that Rebecca spoke about was about love. And how much Benny can love to pray, and how you love to pray. And it's really love that compels us. And I want to jump on to the next scripture real quick. And it's something I want to leave you guys thinking about before we play our next song as well. It's John 13:34-35. It's a very small scripture. But it says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. With that, we're going to go to our station identification and our next song.
Wait. Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Blaze of Glory by Bon Jovi. And although, obviously, this is a song to theme for the movie Young Guns, you know, in the movie, there was a different purpose. But yet, within the song, we hear prayer. And this is what made him strong. I mean, he's having a conversation with God. He's you know, kind of negotiating about life. And, you know, he said, let this boy die like a man. So it's really about honor. Whatever his role was, you know, he took it on, and really it's about us taking the role of what it means to be a disciple. And if Becky, if you're still on, I would love to hear your input and what it means to be a disciple for you. And I know you touched on it last week, but really, who's the one who really taught you to have this walk? Who's the person who modeled themselves to you and said, I'm going to walk this walk?
You know, it's funny. My journey is probably, can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay. My journey is a little bit different in my, as far as discipleship goes, because, you know, I really, people that know me know that I really, being raised around rodeo and in a rodeo family and culture where you travel a lot, and you know, you really tend to have, I love that culture, but you kind of tend to have a gypsy mentality where you know, you kind of meander around and float around and you really don't stay in one place. And so I left home at a very young age. I was still in high school, and you know, I kind of orphaned myself, so to speak, and ran away from home, and not that that was the best choice. But so when I got saved, it was right after I had my son. And a gentleman by the name of Ron Ogle, I say at the time it was by accident, but we all know that there's no accidents. It's only God's perfect timing. And I ended up in the wrong discipleship class. I didn't have any clue what it meant to be a Christian. I just know that I had accepted an invitation to Jesus and didn't know what was next. So I thought, well, I'll just go get in the class. And Ron Ogle became a mentor in my life for many, many years, and he was probably the one person that taught me. I think I took his discipleship class. It was a 30-week class. I think I took it once a year, every year, for about 4 years, just because he meant so much to me, and I just loved learning from him, and it was such a simplistic way of learning. But as I grew in my relationship with Christ and understanding and moved from that church that I was at, you know, it was really the pastors at my home church and then the church that I ended up at next. It would have been Will McCain and, oh my goodness, I'm drawing a blank right now, Pastor Monty Lelisher. They all three of those people just really poured God's love into my life and really, you know, taught me what it meant to pray and talk and love and learn to let the Holy Spirit guide me. And I really think between that, those three gentlemen and the Holy Spirit, that's where the true discipleship came from for me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And really, I know it was love in their hearts that taught and saw a young girl, you know, a young mother, and they just poured their love out to you, because here you were. It's like, God, help me. I'm here. Teach me. And you were like those young Bereans, just eager to learn. And I see that and I hear that in your shows. You just have such an amazing spirit. You are definitely a teacher. You're an amazing mom, the way you pray over your children. And you're just really an awesome role model. So I applaud those people in their lives. You know, it's three special people that they came to the right time and they taught you the way. And it's awesome when we get it the first time. You know, I've had to, you know, I was raised Catholic, and, you know, then I, as a young freshman at UCI, I had some people come up to me and ask me if I wanted to study the Bible. And I'm like, yes, but I was afraid, because I'm like, wow, this book is pretty powerful. And now I'm actually going to learn how to read it and actually study it. Something I always wanted to do, maybe not with the understanding that I was going to walk into a position or put myself in a position of to study what it means to be a disciple.
And really, it's Jesus's his command to us to go and make disciples of all nations. And, you know, he wants to include the world. He doesn't want anybody left out. And that's really the mission that we're trying to do here with Soul Sister Radio. Being on Blog Talk actually gives us the opportunity to be worldwide, and we're hoping this message can be worldwide. I mean, and it's really about calling each other to follow this path and go make disciples of men. So I'm just kind of recapping about last week, but this is our calling. This is the career God gave us. He's like, I'm going to make you guys modern-day fishers, and you're going to go out there, and then you're going to share about this. And everything is in this book called the Bible, and it had these really amazing people write in it, and there's some great people in there too, and maybe not so great people who did not come from the most amazing of backgrounds, or, you know, humble backgrounds. It's not always about the great leaders, but this is what this book is, and it's amazing. And, you know, as we said, it's about carrying our crosses daily and counting the cost. And asking, you know, and developing a relationship with God in prayer. And that's one thing that I was taught when I was taught to study the Bible was, you know, we're going to pray. And I had never heard people pray like that before. It was always just the Our Father. It was just no deviation to it. It was just that. So it was something that you said out of memory versus out of heart and passion when you're really having a relationship or a conversation with someone. So I was taught to have a conversation with God. And it's really the most amazing thing because I really feel like I'm picking up a phone and just like chatting with God. And it's really awesome that although he may not speak to me in a voice, it's in everyday little things that I see, whether it's the most beautiful flower or some handprint on my couch, or something, you know, a light flickering here and there, or just a rainbow.
Would you like to talk about that handprint on the couch
real quick?
It drives Dean crazy. I just want you to know.
And I guess she likes to, you know, poke at her brother, Dean. Briefly, last week, actually it was on Monday, it was December 3rd, and We weren't here, but God knows we were. I don't know.
We went over there. We weren't in this spot that we are right now.
Yes, last week, Sunday, we had our radio show on our dining table. This week right now, we're actually on our couch. So we didn't even touch the couch all last week, really. And then Monday morning came. I get up at 5. I leave the house. It's dark, whatever. 7 o'clock in the morning, and I get a text from Mayor Maria, and she asks, is this your hand? I'm thinking, what is she talking about? Like, what hand, first of all? And apparently she had tried to send me a picture of it, but did not come through, and then she sent it again. And long story short, on our couch was an impression mark of two hands, but not in the direction that you would sit on. It was like clearly the opposite way, but there were man's hands. And it was like very, very intriguing, if you will, because Maria and I are the only ones here. And when we tried repeating those impressions on the couch, they didn't stick. And, you know, you can just see, well, the impression was there, but the handprint wouldn't stay. And Maria actually took a video that she posted online. But for some of those who may not know, I live in a condo that I rent from my mother-in-law, and my late ex-husband died in this household, and we really believe his spirit is here, but he's kind of like Casper. He's a friendly spirit. He's very funny. And, you know, he loves teasing Maria mostly because she sleeps in the room where he passed. And every now and then we also hear his heartbeat. But it's not anything scary, but we know that there is a presence here. And even what's really most amazing and really kind of all the more intriguing that when we looked at the pictures that Maria took of the hands, we saw other faces. And other
object.
And this is the part where Dean is probably freaked out, because Maria had a very special dog that she had for 13 years. And that face of that dog is also one of the impressions on the couch. And everybody who has seen it is like, wow. I mean, there's no denying that that's the face of Kelly, of Maria's dog, and even the color. So, Dean, I know you're probably annoyed by this, but can you just share briefly what you think about this?
I think you two are drinking too much coffee before this program.
Well, it's something, because it's a phenomenon. It's not something that happens every day. So, like what I was saying, it's really about how God touches you, or how he reveals himself to you, whether it's drinking a lot of coffee or not, whether it's an impression on the couch or just an idea that pops in your head or a song that plays on the radio that reminds you of something. God is always reaching out to us, and that's how he speaks to us. We really just have to listen to the voice within. There's a word called enthusiasm. We all know it as a joyful word. But if you read and study the etymology of the word, it says, happy is he who listens to the God within. When we listen to that voice and we have that joy within us, that's the true meaning of enthusiasm. And I am filled with the enthusiasm of the Lord. I know his light is shining, not just on me, but on Maria. And we are truly surrounded by angels. And that's really what I know Alex's spirit is. We are touched by angels. And really, you know, as I was reading the last verse that we read in John, it says, Jesus says, I give you a new command. Why would we call it a new command? Because he's saying it's not about the old law. The new law is we really have to have the compassion to love one another. We really have to look at a person and say, you know, besides how they may be on the exterior, this person still has a soul. And there's so many lost and troubled souls. And we really have to look at each other with love. And it's not easy to do, but then this is when we have to think, it's not my will, it's God's will. He's giving us a new command. I command you to love one another. If we had love, there wouldn't be all this war that's going on. There wouldn't be people killing people, people stealing from people, people hurting people, people backstabbing people. And it's just like, if we really just took the time to know what it means to love one another, it says, love each other as I have loved you. And with that being said, I want to share this one song that Maria loves, and I want you to share why you love the song and that memory that it brings to you.
Word up?
No. I knew I loved
oh,
you.
Oh, we're going to do that song.
Yes.
Lauren, my daughter, she was a little girl, and I can remember her driving next to me in the car, and this song came on, and she said, Mommy, she said, this song is Jesus singing to us, and it's a memory I'll never forget, and every time I hear this song, I have to stop and think to myself, wow, out of the mouths of babes comes the truth. And she truly was the inspiration for Reboot as far as using secular music to really touch the lives of those that have no idea that God's speaking through some of this, just like the devil can. But God is there if you focus forward and really truly listen to him. And the song, I Knew I Loved You, before I met you, there's so many people in my life, and I'm sure all of you can feel the same way. But before you have even known this person, you look at them, you can sense them, their soul within their eyes, and you know that you've loved them before you met them. Such as you, my dear, and Becky up in Washington, same experience 12 years ago with you. And Rebecca Lawler, the same with you. And Dean, I'm just stuck with you because you're my brother.
But did you know that you loved him?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, if you tease him, that means that you love him. You're willing to poke at him. And again, I'll read this. The scripture says, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. I mean, he's really saying you really have no choice. You must love one another. And by this, men, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So let's look at people beyond the physical, and let's look with our spiritual eyes and know that we're commanded to love. And next week we will talk about the Word of God and really delving more into it. And we're just so excited to share about the show. And really, I hope that this can be eye-opening on so many levels. And just even just picking up the phone and maybe just even putting a phone number that says God, and you're just going to chat and people won't even know, but you're like on your cell phone and you're really just talking with God. Pretty cool. You should try it.
Magdalena, thank you so much. Your show is amazing, and I can't believe that I've taken this long to just go ahead, see it take God to silence my jaw. To go ahead and say, wow, what an amazing thing. Aren't you glad you finally?
Well, yes, because it's amazing, because as we are experiencing things of the end of time, this is really about, you know, a world message, and it's to save the world. And if we can have a tenth of a tenth of a tenth of a chance to even do that, I mean, as long as we're doing what we're being called to, in this fashion, it's an honor to be part of God's army, wearing, you know, my shield, got my sword, you know, I got my Bible, which is my mana, and, you know, I believe I have God's grace, I have God's forgiveness, I have God's love. I feel so empowered. Like for me as a female, picking up the Bible and reading it, it's like putting on my high heels.
Exactly.
There's a difference between wearing flats. And then when I put on my high heels, it's empowering. And the Bible is, if I have to make an analogy, it empowers me. It makes me feel strong as a woman. It gives me the confidence. And I know that if God is for me, who can be against me? Sure, there's going to be many against me, but I'm with the general.
And isn't that amazing that you are with the general? This has come full circle for me watching you evolve this year. I'm blessed to be able to place you before General Michael Teilman of the Order of Constantine the Great and St. Helen in 5 days, so you can become a dame and truly take your stand as an ambassador for Christ. And Becky, you're next, my dear friend. So here we go to I Knew I Loved You Before I Met You. Then we will be going straight into Dean's show, Sinner Sanctuary, and we will see you next week on Reboot.
I knew I loved you before I met you.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to Sinner Sanctuary. My name is Dean Milo and I'm your host. And I just want to thank you for being here, and I hope you had a great morning with Becky and Magdalena and Maria on Reboot. It is a fine morning, and I truly appreciate you being here. We're going to get right into it. We're going to expand upon what we talked about last weekend. And if you weren't with us, we were talking about the fall of man, and we're talking about the first sinner, since this is called Sinner Sanctuary, talking about Eve, the mother of all humankind. I really like Eve because she reflects a lot of me. Why? Because I love eating fruit, and I love the fact that God accepts me for who I am. You know, there's a lot of conflict when we talk about this subject, and it's been raging in the Christian community for many, many, many years. And one thing about conflict in the Christian community, I love that because it makes me think, makes me put my thinking cap on. Because I just don't want to be told what to do and how to think. I like the fact that the story of the fall, the forbidden fruit, Eve taking it upon herself as a typical human being, not doing what she was told, just like me, just like you, using her own thought processes to do something she wasn't supposed to do. She was told, she was instructed not to do it. And just like every apple, we'll call, that comes your way, you know, you got to duck. If you don't duck, it's going to hit you right in the middle of the face, right in the nose. And that's why this particular passage, right in the beginning, sets the whole standard of our Christian walk, your spiritual walk, your walk of enlightenment, whatever you want to religiously call yourself. This is the beginning. This is the Genesis. That's why we call it Genesis. We talked a little bit about last week about the actual fruit itself. You know, was it an apple? Was it a pomegranate? Michelangelo in Rome paints it as a fig. There is a scripture passage that could possibly mean it's a tamarind fruit. I don't know if you've ever had a Mexican soda, or you've ever been to a Mexican restaurant and they have a particular drink called tamarindo. And there is a reference to it could be a tamarindo plant. So we have a fig, we have possibly an apple, we have a pomegranate, we have the tamarindo plant. The word Adam's apple comes from this particular passage in the Bible. You know, as Adam was eating it, it got stuck in his throat. That's why it's called an Adam's apple, if you didn't know. Little fun fact for you. But more importantly, this this particular passage in the Bible reflects sex. And as we talked about last week, you know, when you go to church, they don't like talking about this particular aspect because it's offensive to some. But the fall of mankind has to do with sex. And the fact of the matter was is that Eve was tempted by an alluring figure, a person that had the ability to talk. People say, well, it was a snake. It was a serpent. It was an animal that crawled on its belly that had the ability to climb up a tree. Well, that sounds really logical, but I don't think God works that way. He's smarter than that. This serpent was an upright figure that had the ability to talk, manipulate, speak. This figure had the ability to persuade. This serpent had the ability to speak in Scripture. He knew God's word. Think about that for a moment. When God created everything, he definitely created humans. Adam and Eve is special. So whatever this serpent was, it had the ability to speak. In my opinion, it was an upright, this serpent stood upright like a human form. It had the ability to tempt Eve and throw something at her that got her lust up. We don't lust for apples. We don't desire an apple. We don't desire fruit. We desire something that we lust for. So when we're talking about this, we're not talking about eating an apple or eating a pomegranate or peeling a fig. We're talking about it in the sexual terms that reflects our biggest weakness as a human being. So I just wanted to expand on that a little bit more today and get into it. But first, I want to take a quick station identification and thank all of our sponsors, from Rebecca Lawler Limited to B&B Builders to Jimmy James. And SurfPro, of course, our brand new sponsor. So I just want to go really quick, take a quick station identification, and I'll be right back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Well, I thank you for coming back. We're going to get into a little bit of Genesis, talk about the fall, talk about Eve, the first sinner. It's a wonderful story because it reflects us all. You know, a lot of people forget the fact that, I don't know if, is Maria, are you still with me right now on the program?
Yes, Dean, I am.
I wanted to bring you in on this because you know the affliction of Eve. And I know Rebecca Lawler knows the affliction of Eve. And that affliction is the pain of childbirth. I don't understand childbirth and the pain that comes with it. I'm a man, and I've never had a child. But from what I hear, it's a brutal, agonizing, nail-biting, form of pain that men will never understand. Can you elaborate on that, Maria?
I think it's a pain that men won't understand, can't understand, and it's part of the reason why there's a disconnect and a disrespect. And I've been through a lot of pain. Childbirth and labor is truly, truly, that's what it is. That's why it's been interesting reading Revelations 12 and going through that chapter and knowing that we were birthing something this year. Labor pains are intense. How can I describe it in a form where a man can understand? Putting bamboo shoots up your fingernails because I used to put them down. And here's the thing, having you put those bamboos and inflicting the pain upon yourself because you're the one who truly caused the whole thing from happening. And even though it's a time where you just want this thing out of you because it's been in you for 40 weeks, but it is a tremendous life-changing experience. And bamboo shoots only probably get to 4 or 5 centimeters, and you got to get.
Well, I really appreciate that because that'll give our male listeners a perspective on what we're talking about here. We're talking about the single thing that God did to all women, and I think it's an unbelievable testimony on the way God works and the fact that, you know, why he would do this, why he would put this affliction, the pain of childbirth, as a form of punishment for the fall in the garden. Well, I'd like to just reassure our listeners that that form of punishment comes with phenomenal rewards. As we all know, that reward is a child. And that was God's little message to us that he loves us. And he wasn't going to falter at the end of the fall. That's why that first animal sacrifice occurred. He had to make sure that his children, Adam and Eve, were clothed. They were warm when he expelled them out of Eden. God knew that it would be cold because paradise was lost. When you live in paradise, I don't know, I've never been to a place like Tahiti, or I've never been to a place like Hawaii. I know Maria has. They call those places paradise. So because it's never cold. It doesn't have a blizzard. There's no snowstorms. So when Adam and Eve got expelled from the garden, that was the first time they experienced harsh weather. And God, in his great grandeur and glory, he saw that their shame, all of a sudden they were shameful for their body. And that reflects to us all. All of a sudden, somebody comes walking in the bathroom. I don't care if it's your kid. I don't care if it's your mother. The first thing you do is shut the door, cover yourself, and say, "Hey, I'm in here." That is the natural feeling of shame that lies within us all. That was planted by the fall of Adam and Eve. And as God kicked them out of the paradise that they know as they knew as home, for the first time they felt the harsh reactions of weather. And God knew this, and God had to make a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, to keep them warm and clothe them properly, because he knew that the green leaves that they tried to fashion themselves with was just not adequate for the upcoming weather conditions that they were going to be in. So
So God went ahead and made an animal sacrifice, clothed them, kicked them out, but never forsake them. God is extremely faithful to his children. And here you have an example of what really should have been the death penalty. What really should have been the end of mankind was the actual beginning of mankind. Remember that Eve is a special person. She is the only person on earth in the history of the world that was made from man. All the rest of us, me, you, every person that came after, came from a woman. Eve was the only one that came from a man. And that is a perfect example of why she fell. She fell because Adam eventually would have fell. Even though he went past that tree, and even though that tree did not give him the feelings that it gave Eve, because she was from Adam himself, she was going to fall. And the sexual aspects and the temptation that the devil, the serpent, that upright figure that, in my opinion, planted a seed in her. She had three sons that we know in Scripture, even though she was the mother of all humankind. We know that she had she had Cain, she had Abel, and she had Seth. All humanity derives from Seth, because Seth was not of possibly the serpent. We talked and expanded a little bit on the serpent seed doctrine. I'm not saying I'm a believer in the serpent seed doctrine, and I'm not saying that I am. I am and I am not. I like to look at them both. I like to look at it logically. Eve went into the garden. She saw the fruit. She was tempted by the devil through Scripture. Just like us all, she fell as I would have fell, as you would have fell, if the devil was tempting us what we wanted the most. She bit, and then she offered. And a literal type of threesome occurred between the devil, Adam, and Eve. The devil had him right where he wanted him. She fell. She had Cain. Cain, there was something in Cain that wasn't of God. The murderous thoughts, jealousy, all the things that we know today that come within our heart when something's wrong, when we don't please somebody. When we get angry at our brother, we get angry at our sister for doing us wrong. We get angry at our parents. We always have excuses. Well, the fact of the matter was Cain was different than Abel. Abel was a person that understood what God wanted. Abel was a person that recognized what God needed, the sweet savor, as Scripture says, of a burning animal sacrifice. Cain, being a tiller of the soil, being a person of the world, being a person of the earth like a snake, he went ahead and put the sacrifice down that God was not pleased with. So the feelings that Cain had that came over him were anger, resentment, jealousy, rage, murderous thoughts. And not only that, a disdain for God. When God asked him, "Where's your brother?" Why are you asking me this?" he says. Don't even go there. I'm not my brother's keeper." I think we have all said that to our parents when they've come to ask us, "Hey, where's Billy? Where's Johnny? Where's your sister? I have no idea, Mom. I don't have no idea, Dad. I'm not their keeper. What are you asking me for? That is a typical human nature. Cain hits it right on the head. I'm no better. This is what makes the sinner sanctuary so universal. We can understand that we're no better than Eve. We're no better than Cain. We're no better than Adam and his apple lodged in his throat. Can't choke it down, but he ate it. It's already in his mouth, chewed up on its way down. This is us. This is humankind. I want to take another quick break right now. And I want to again thank our sponsors, Surf Pro, the best in the business, remediation, flood, fire, you call them. Jimmy James, the greatest musician never to be signed. But we're working on that. Robert, B&B Builders, any type of construction, general contracting, small to big, please call him. Mission Viejo, South County, North County. He's here in Orange County, California. And, of course, Rebecca Lawler Limited, the Hearts of Hope Foundation. So we're going to take a quick station identification, and I'll be right back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Well, we only have a few more minutes to go, and I wanted just to expand again a little bit on Eve. The name Eve. You know, is you don't hear it too much anymore. Girls named Eve. I like the name. It reminds me of Scripture. It reminds me of who I am. It also reminds me that I'm always on the cusp of the darkness. Think about that for a minute. You know, Eve is about from light to black, and understanding that light and that black coexist, and understanding that concept of commingling, and understanding that we're powerless against sin and we need a Savior. That Savior that we're talking about was a man that came 2,000 years ago, that took that affliction and took that temptation away, and was able to take on that serpent straight up, and able to give us the light at the end of the tunnel, even as we all have been cast out of paradise. Not just Adam and Eve, people. That me too. I'm Eve. I'm Adam. You're Eve. You're Adam. We just didn't make it. But through his faith, through the faith in the Savior, Christ, we have a chance to remove ourselves, put ourselves back in the light, and understand what pleases the Lord. What pleases the Lord is a sacrifice. That sacrifice doesn't have to be an animal sacrifice anymore. That job was done at the cross. Jesus was God's sacrifice to us. Just as he sacrificed that animal to clothe Adam and Eve from the harshness that was coming to them. God sacrificed his own son as a blanket, as as a garment that we can put on over us to keep us safe, to keep us warm. No difference. It's a constant narrative in Scripture where an animal sacrifice is laid out in front of the Lord and he is pleased. Noah, when it's all said and done, he steps off the ark, he builds an altar, and he sacrifices an animal. Eve, Abel, he pleases the Lord with an animal sacrifice. And God rejects Cain's sacrifice of a vegetable sacrifice. So understand that when we're talking about things that please the Lord, we're talking about your sinful nature, you coming to grips with your sinful nature, you understanding that you need a redeemer, and a sacrifice must be carried out for you to be clothed in righteousness. And, you know, with that, I just want to thank everybody for listening this morning. I would like to thank Maria Di Giovanni. I'd like to thank Magdalena Gomez. I'd like to thank Becky. Phenomenal show this morning. Again, without our sponsors, we wouldn't be here. I also would like to thank my friends and my family that listen to me. I want a special shout out to all my new friends that have logged in this morning that I've just met. I really appreciate you for listening. I'd like to give a special shout out to my special friends up in the Pacific Northwest. Thank you for listening. I hope you're here with me next week. We're going to be getting into another sinner, great sinner of the Bible. I'm going to keep it under wraps right now, but if there was ever a particular person that God loved so much, that blew it so many times, is this particular person. I'm not going to give it to you. Hopefully you know who I'm talking about already. But this person had a special place in God's heart. But there wasn't anybody in Scripture that blew it, constantly screwed up, sinned like you can't believe, from murder to sex. It's one of the greatest stories in all the Bible. It's got sex. It's got murder. It's got intrigue. It's got it all. So we're going to talk about that person. And I just want to say thank you for being here this morning. My name is Dean Milo. This is Sinner Sanctuary. We're all sinners. We're powerless against it. And we need a Savior and a Redeemer to combat that sin. So thank you. And we're going to go out with one more word from our sponsor, Rebecca Lawler. And hope to see you next week.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.